Our text for this evening, the verse I want us to look at, is the verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Now in this life, there are many different types of warnings that people must heed and people must consider. You think about young infants, they are warned by loving parents maybe not to touch certain things or to go to certain places. Children and teenagers or school, they're warned by their teachers to learn well and to work hard, for that is profitable for them as they grow up. Young people are warned to avoid such things as alcohol and drugs and cigarettes, for these are harmful and can lead them further and further into the pathway of sin. In the workplace, employees are warned to abide by health and safety regulations for their safety in their workplace. Vehicle drivers, those that use the public roads, they are warned to keep within the speed limit, to abide by the highway code for the safety of all on our public roads. Also, adults and older people are being increasingly warned to be careful of their diet, to take regular exercise for the good of their health. Yes, it is wise to abide by all these different warnings that come our way. Yes, in this life, man receives many different types and many different kinds of warnings. But you know, dear people, tonight, the most important warnings for man to consider are those that are found in the Word of God. And the Bible is full of warnings from God to man, from the Genesis, the very opening book of the Bible, right to Revelation, the very close of the Scriptures. And man is one who should humbly thank God for every warning that they read, every warning that comes across their mind through the Word of God. How thankful we should be for every warning that you find in the Scriptures. And one of these vital warnings from God to mankind is found in our text here tonight in verse number 25 of Hebrews 12, where it says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Now in this chapter, in the early part of the chapter, you'll see that the Christian, the child of God, is exhorted to be patient and to be constant in their faith. You see that in verse 1 of the chapter, where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And that is good counsel to every child of God, to be patient and to be constant in their faith. The believer also in the early part of this chapter is reminded of the blessings that come to them, strangely even through trials and through the chastenings of the Lord. Look at verse number 11 of the chapter. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And that shows us, dear people, in the life of a Christian, though we may not see it at the time, there are blessings for us in trials and difficulties and chastenings that come our way in life. You think of a Job of old in the midst of all his trials. He could say of the Lord, "When ye have tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knew there was a blessing for him from God in the midst of the trial. Also here in this chapter, you'll see how the Lord's people are encouraged to live a holy life, a life that is different and separate from the evil and ungodly ways of the world, and how important that is for this day and generation in which we live. Look at verse number 14. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And there the Christian is encouraged to live a holy life for the glory of God. And then when we come down to the latter part of the chapter, to our Bible reading tonight, you'll see there that the Christian is reminded about the great privileges of the gospel. Look at verses 22 and verses 23 and verses 24. It says here to the believer, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling," that's the blood of Christ shed upon the cross, "that speaketh better things than that of Abel's." There you see how it is through the redeeming blood of Christ, the blood of sprinkling, "that speaketh better things than that of Abel's," through the blood of Christ shed upon the cross, that every born-again Christian is sure of heaven and has a place in glory. It says there in verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." That speaks of heaven. That speaks of glory. It speaks of everlasting life. And what a home that is. What a prospect that is for every Christian, every child of God to look forward to. And it has been purchased and paid for in full by the blood of sprinkling, the blood of Christ shed upon the cross, that speak of better things than that of Abel's. And then when we come to verse 25, the words of our text this evening, you see here how the tone of the message changes. And here every sinner is given a solemn warning not to reject the gospel message. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." What a solemn warning this is, not to reject the gospel message. Now, in this warning not to reject the gospel message, there are three things that I want you to note simply and plainly from this message tonight. Notice first of all here that in this warning you see the mercy of God. You see here the mercy of God. Look at verse 25. Look at how it begins. It says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." If you think of those words, and then think of the last two words, "from heaven." "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven." Note those words, "him that speaketh from heaven." Who is the him here that the writer is speaking about? The him here refers to God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that to be so from the words in verse 24, immediately before our text. For it says, "unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speak of better things than that of Abel's, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven." And what is the great mercy that we see here in this verse? The great mercy is this. It is the mercy of the Lord that he comes and he speaks. He speaks to lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and like me in this meeting tonight. He speaks to us. The Lord of glory, the Lord of heaven, the Son of God, he speaks to sinful man. What a mercy. The Bible speaks in the beginning of Hebrews and it says, "God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." And that period of time there known as the last days, it commenced during the time of the Lord's earthly ministry. So friend, you and I tonight, we are living in the last of the last days. And in these very dark days, the Lord speaks to you and I. What a mercy. He speaks to you and I through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy. In these last days, in these evil days, in these ungodly days, that the Lord Jesus Christ should speak to you and to I, the sinful sons of Adam's race. How does the Lord speak? He speaks to us through his great work, yes, of creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And when you look out at creation, Look at all its beauty. You look at all its splendor. What do you see? You see the speaking voice of God and his power. You see a demonstration of the mighty power of God, that God spake this world into existence in 6 literal days. And it speaks of the mighty power of the Lord. And friends, there is no power like the power of the Lord. Yes, he speaks to us through creation. But along with creation, the Lord also has two other principal ways of speaking to you and I. One of these is the Bible, the Lord's holy word, that eternal word, that inspired word. You remember the words of Paul to young Timothy. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. The Lord speaks to you and I through his word. Friend, in our meeting tonight, this is why it is so important that you listen to the Bible as it is read. This is why it is so important that you yourself read the Bible. For as you read the Bible, as you listen to the public reading of the Bible, what will you find? You will find the Lord speaking to you. You will find the Lord speaking to your heart. He speaks through creation. He speaks to you through his word. But the Lord also speaks to us by the witness of the Holy Spirit of God within our hearts. References made to that very fact away at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, when God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God speaks to our hearts. He speaks to the heart of man by the witness, the operation, the working, the moving, the promptings of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in the heart of man. Dear friend, in the meeting tonight, you and I, we should listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. For in doing so, you will hear the voice of God. You will hear God speaking to your heart in a still, small voice through the ministry, through the witness, through the promptings of God, the Holy Spirit. What a mercy. The Lord speaks. Speaks through creation about his power. He speaks through his word, the Bible. He speaks through the witness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can say tonight as we think of the Lord's speaking voice, what a voice it is. It's a voice that is powerful. The Bible says the voice of the Lord, it is powerful. It is full of majesty and truth. The voice of the Lord is tender. There is no tender voice like the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is gracious. How gracious is the word of the Lord. When Jesus was here on earth, the Bible says the people marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. No one speaks so graciously like the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The voice of the Lord is true. You'll find no deception, no lies in the voice of the Lord. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, in him there was no guile nor deceit found in his mouth. He says, I am the truth. And the voice of the Lord is loving. There's no loving voice, I tell you, like the voice of the Lord. Oh, the hymn writer was most right when they said, there is no love like the love of Jesus. And how loving is the voice of the Lord. And in speaking to us, the Lord has many, many wonderful things to say to us. As we're singing earlier, wonderful things in the Bible I see. What wonderful things he has to say to you and to I through his voice. But you know, the greatest mercy of all to you and I and to all mankind is that he speaks to you and I personally and individually about our need personally of God's so great salvation. What a message that is. He speaks to you and I about our need to repent, to turn from our sins, to turn away from our sins. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance means to turn away from our sins, to confess our sins, to acknowledge our sins before God. And not only does he tell us to repent, he speaks to us further about our need of salvation. And he speaks to you and I of our need to come by faith to Jesus Christ himself and to trust him, to rest in a sacrifice and the blood of the cross, to have our sins forgiven and to have our souls saved and to be sure of heaven and right with God. That's the gospel message that he speaks. His word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse of us from all sin. Oh man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, boys and girls, this is the most important message that you can ever receive or ever hear in your life. To hear of God's salvation. To hear the Lord speaking to you personally and individually through his word, through his spirit, even through these great works of providence and creation. Speaking to you about your personal need of salvation. Your need to repent of your sins as a sinner before God. And your need to put your faith, to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, in this warning you see the mercy of God. It is the speaking voice of the Lord. Yes, that's the first thing I want you to note here. The mercy of the Lord. But notice secondly tonight in this warning, you see something else. What is it? You see the command of the Lord. For look again at how verse 25 begins. It says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Notice those words, refuse not him that speaketh. That word refuse there, it means to deny. It means to avoid. It means to reject. It means to despise. What is the command here? The command of the Lord here is this, that you and I, and indeed all mankind, is that we are not to turn our backs upon the gospel message. We're not to turn our backs upon that speaking voice of the Lord that would call you and I to salvation. That voice that would call you and I to repent of our sins. That voice that would call you and I to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. This is a message we are not to refuse. This is a message you're not to reject. You're not to despise it. You're not to turn your back upon it. The verse says, seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Oh, friend, in the meeting tonight, understand this. You are to heed the Lord's speaking voice. That's the command here of this text. You're to listen to the voice of God, that voice that called you and is calling you to salvation. That voice that called you and is calling you to repentance from your sin. That voice that called you to faith in Christ for salvation. You are not to refuse it. You're not to, as it were, set it aside. You're not to discount it. The Bible says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Well, that means don't turn your back upon the speaking voice of the Lord. The hymn writer says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that means to heed the voice of God. As the Lord speaks to you as an individual and calls you to himself for salvation and calls you to repent of your sin and calls you to trust in Jesus to be your Savior, do not refuse that voice. There may be many voices in this life that you have turned your back upon. You have turned away from as you look back over your life and review your life tonight. There may be many voices in this life presently that you may wish not to listen to, that you may wish to turn your back upon. That may be so. But friend, let me make it very clear to you in this meeting tonight, no matter who you are, young or old, man or woman, boy or girl, young person, if you are to know the blessing of God's so great salvation, then it's an imperative, then it's a must that you listen to the voice of the Lord, that you refuse not that voice. You look at what our text says. Look at it and ponder it. Look at it as it is before you in the verse. It says, see, God is speaking here tonight. He's speaking to your heart. And it says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." This isn't the voice of the preacher, or the pastor, or the evangelist, or the minister. This is the voice of him that speaks from heaven. I am sure if you got a phone call from Her Majesty the Queen, if she were to ring your home up and speak to you, or somebody else important in society, you'd sit up, you'd listen. You wouldn't put down the phone. You would listen attentively to what they have to say to you. And rightly so. But I tell you, here's a voice far more powerful, far more important. For this is the Lord, the one with whom we have to do. The mighty God of heaven, who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords. Will you listen tonight to the voice of the Lord? You know, sadly, as you read through your Bible, you'll see examples, yes, many examples of those who turned away from the Lord's voice, that voice that was calling them to salvation. One of those was Pharaoh in the day of Moses. And listen what he said about the Lord's voice. This is what he said. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" He discounted, he refused, he rejected the voice of the Lord in a sinful stupidity. Pharaoh thought that he knew better than God, but he was wrong. Oh, God forbid that there should be one in the meeting tonight and that you'd be following the example of Pharaoh and saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Another that you read about in the New Testament was Felix, the Roman governor in the day of the Apostle Paul. And through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the Lord spoke to Felix about salvation, about his need to repent of his sins, about his need to get right with God. He reasoned with him about righteousness of temperance and judgment to come. He heard the speaking voice of God, so much so that Felix even trembled. He shook when he heard the voice of God in his soul. Yet what did he say to Paul in his sinful folly? He said this, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I will call for thee. Felix thought that he could be saved in his time. He thought he was the boss, and that he didn't need to be saved in God's time. But little did he know how wrong he was. He turned away from the voice of God. And there's many more examples we could take you tonight in the Bible. And down throughout the years of time, yes, there have been many. And sadly, they have refused the voice of the Lord. They have refused the gospel message. Why? For some it is because of unbelief. For some it is because of pride. For some it is because of the offense of the cross. They are offended at the message of the gospel, that they need to repent and get saved and trust the Lord. For some they refuse because of self-reliance. They're trusting upon something else for salvation. And there are others, they refuse the voice to salvation because they dislike the holiness of Christ's teaching. There are others, and it's because of the fear of man. They're afraid of what others will say or think. Maybe it's because of the love of sin or the pleasures of this world or procrastination. They just will say, "I'll put it off to another time." Maybe it's just because of indifference. Indifference, yes, through the deception of the devil or the deception of some false belief or some false notion or religion of man that they've heard or have been taught. Oh, friend, at our meeting tonight, I urge you tonight, I plead with you, let none of these things hold you back as an individual from heeding the gospel, from heeding the voice of the Lord, that voice that calls you as an individual before God to repent of your sins and to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Let nothing, let no one turn you away from listening and heeding that voice. Listen to the Lord tonight. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What a promise there. The promise of the Lord is this. If you come to him by faith, repenting of your sins, if you listen to his voice and you trust the Lord for salvation, your sins will be blotted out. Your sins, though as scarlet, shall be made as white as snow. They'll be blotted out before God. Yes, we have here a mercy in our text that God speaks, the Lord speaks. We have a command here in this warning, and the command is that you're to listen to the voice of the Lord. You're not to turn away from his voice. But notice finally tonight in this warning, you also see, this is most solemn, this is most serious. You see the judgment of the Lord. Look at the final part of verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter 12, and look at what Paul goes on to say. He says, "For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." That speaks of judgment. There the Apostle Paul is telling us that there is judgment for all who reject the gospel message that calls them to salvation. Look again at what he says there. He says, if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth. And there the writer is citing the example of those in the day of Moses who refused the voice of God. And in doing so, they incurred, they brought upon themselves the wrath, the judgment of God. These are people from a Hebrew background, and he's taking them back to the Old Testament, something that they would have known, something that perhaps they would have read, and he's reminding them of those in the day of Moses who turned away from the voice of God, and they brought upon themselves the judgment of God. You think tonight of those involved in the day of Moses and the rebellion of Korah. Number 16, verse 33 says, they went down alive into the pit. The earth opened up and they fell down alive into hell, into the lake of fire. They fell down alive into the pit. Again, you think of those in Exodus 32 who were involved in the awful sin of idolatry and making and worshipping the golden calf while Moses was up the mount receiving the law of God from the Lord. And what does the Bible say about those? It says, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. They were judged for their sin, for rejecting the voice of the Lord. Judgment came upon them. My speaking of all those who rebelled against God's voice in the day of Moses, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says they were overthrown in the wilderness. That speaks of judgment, the judgment of God. And God's judgment upon them for their sin and for turning their back upon the voice of the Lord, that they perished in the wilderness. They never saw, they never entered in to the promised land. And this is the example that Paul is setting here before us, a fact of history. Those who turned away from the voice of God, they perished, they were overthrown, the earth opened up and swallowed them, and they were cast down into hell. And what is Paul saying here? He's strengthening his argument, and his argument is this. If such perished in the day of Moses, then in the final part of verse 25, notice that what Paul says and what he teaches is what he shows us. He's really emphasizing the point here. He's saying there is no hope whatsoever for those who refuse the voice of God, who refuse to repent of their sin, who refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to be their personal Savior. Look at what he says in the latter part of verse 25. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. There's no hope for that person, whoever they are, who turn away from the voice of God, who turn away from the gospel, and refuse to repent and refuse to trust the Lord for salvation. God's judgment will be upon them. And God's judgment for all who reject the gospel, dear people, is eternal punishment, eternal damnation, eternal loss in hell. That place which the Bible calls the lake of fire. It says in the book of the Revelation, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that's those who have not heeded the gospel, were cast into the lake of fire. The Bible asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape of hell for those who neglect the gospel message. Just turning your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21. Look with me, please, at verse number 8. And here you read of those that will be cast into hell. Revelation 21, verse number 8. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is John describing, or who is he describing? The unbelieving, the unrepentant, those who reject the gospel. He says they shall have their part. That will be their place, eternal, in the place which burneth with fire and brimstone. That is hell, my friend, which is the second death. Oh, see here tonight that there is judgment to come for all who reject the gospel, who reject the voice of the Lord. It is said about that great river, Niagara, that feeds into the great Niagara Falls in Canada, that there's a place along that river known as Past Redemption Point. And any boat or any vessel on that river that goes past Redemption Point, there's no hope of deliverance, no hope of being saved from going over the falls to sure and certain death and destruction. But once a person goes beyond the point of redemption, past redemption point, there's no hope of deliverance, no hope of being saved. Dear friend, whenever you refuse the gospel message, if you refuse to repent of your sin, if you refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then you are turning your back upon your only hope of redemption, your only hope of salvation from a lost sinner's hell. And the outcome for you will be the ruin of sin in this life and eternal damnation in the next life, in the world to come, in a lost sinner's hell. You see, the Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Just turn back there to Hebrews chapter 10. Just turn the page literally back from our text. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at the outcome for those who reject the gospel. It speaks here of the judgment of God and hell upon them. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth, notice it, no more sacrifice for sin, no hope of deliverance from sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Notice verse 29. Of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden under foot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in a holy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And there, Paul is warning us of the awful end, the awful outcome of that man, that woman, that young person who turns their back upon the gospel, who doesn't heed the voice of God and refuses to repent. And they'll leave this world in their sin. There's no hope. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know, whenever you see the red light flashing at a railway crossing, if you drive along the road and you come to a railway crossing, the red light is flashing, that's a warning. It warns you of the danger of an approaching train and not to cross the track until the train passes. Well, dear friend, at our meeting tonight, let me say this. Our text here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, this is God's red light warning to you. This verse speaks about danger. It speaks about ruin for your soul and time and eternity. If you do not and if you will not heed the gospel message, it's a red light warning from God to your soul tonight. Therefore, I would urge you, I would counsel you from this pulpit to be wise, to consider your latter end, to heed the warning, voice of God. Repent of your sin and by faith call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, believing that he died on the cross for you, believing that he shed his blood for your redemption, for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can put your name there in that word, whosoever, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is. If you come as a sinner before God, confessing your need as a sinner and putting your trust in him, he will save you. He will forgive your sins. He will give you a home in heaven. He will save you from the wrath to come. You think of Saul of Tarsus tonight on an errand of sin on the road to Damascus. He heard the voice of the Lord. And he listened to the voice of the Lord. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He repented of his sin and by faith he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And my, from that day onward, he could rejoice in the great hope of everlasting life and a home in heaven, being saved from the wrath to come. Need speaking of that same hope later on to the church in Corinth, he said these words, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He was looking forward to heaven. Why? Because it was a time in his life's experience when he listened to the voice of God. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, you think of our text. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Do not turn away from the voice of the Lord tonight. That voice that in love and mercy calls you to salvation. Come this night to Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Know the joy of your sins forgiven and the great hope of eternal life and a home in heaven.